I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that we can come into your home and worship with you and praise the Lord together. And maybe some of you don't know the Lord, and you'll get to know him during our service today. So we're just so glad we could be with you. And we're going to look at a wonderful psalm, Psalm 67, where the psalmist writes, God be merciful unto me and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be made known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. And, O Lord, we do just love you, and we praise you, and we praise you from all the nations that you are God and that you love us and that you'll help us. And in our service today, may we honor Jesus and the kind Heavenly Father who loves us all. And may many come to know you today, Lord, and be born again. And may many who are on beds of sickness or shut-ins or aged or have other problems, Lord, may they find peace as they rest in the Savior. This is your service. And we love you, Lord, and we know that you can help us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa has a song, a beautiful song. It is no secret. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. But do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And oh, isn't that a wonderful message? That's why I love to preach. That's why we love to have the Christian Worship Hour, because Jesus can help us. It doesn't matter what your situation might be. He can help you. I'm not saying he's going to take you out of that place. Maybe you'll have to stand true to him like the children in the fiery furnace, but he'll be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Just trust Jesus, And we don't want it to be a secret. Want the whole world to know it. Well, we want to thank you for opening your doors for us and letting us come into your homes. It's a real privilege. And we also want to thank you for the letters. We just get so many letters, and we read every one of them. And every one of you that has a prayer, we pray for you. The minute we get that letter, we pray for you. And so we just thank you for writing. And I want to share some of those letters. And by the way, before I get into this, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so you can locate that, and we'll get to it in just a minute. But here's one from Alabama, and this is a message on the website. And this is a lady who writes, and she said, "I just began watching the program in May when I stumbled upon it that month. I enjoy the sermons and as you give it straight about being born again and living for Jesus the best way you can. I like that. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 2014, possibly twice before that. I re-accept Jesus as much as I feel the calling and ask for His forgiveness and mercy a lot when I do something wrong. I spread the word to a few friends to watch your inspiring service. I hope they will do so." Well, now, this is a beautiful letter, and here's a lady with a tender heart. And when she has a sin, she goes to Jesus. But here's how it works. You only accept Jesus once. You see, you're born again. You were born physically once. And so Jesus said, you must be born again. But He didn't say you must be born again and again and again, because it's a spiritual birth, see? So you're born physically once. Now you're born spiritually once, just one time. So once you've accepted Jesus, your sins are paid for because they're under the blood. And all of the sins, Adam is our head, and his sins are all paid and all settled. Well, then as we live our Christian life, we stumble and we make our sins. And those are the sins that we confess to the Lord. And like Jesus, like John wrote in the first epistle, and he wrote this to Christians. And he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we start out the Christian life and we're going to sin. There's no question about it. We don't want to. But Jesus said, if you have murder in your heart, it's a sin. If you lust in your heart, it's a sin. If you look in the wrong way, it's a sin. And so we confess those sins. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation when we sin, because those sins have been all paid for. But we confess our sins so we have fellowship with Jesus, see. And when we sin in the Christian life, then it breaks our fellowship. And we confess our sins, and He forgives us. And you say, well, how many times should I confess it? Confess it 1,000 times if you have to. My grace is sufficient for thee. And He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And there's no limit to God's grace in this life. But once you die, then there's no more. Then where the judgment is there, there's no change after death. But in this life, there's always hope. So you don't have to accept the Lord a lot of times. Just ask Him to forgive you and rejoice and go on. Well, here's one from Langley, Washington. I have been saved since 8 years old. Your worship service is my favorite of all times. You have an amazing program, including music and testimonies and good old-fashioned preaching from God's Word. Never waver to the right or to the left in telling people about Jesus, His saving grace, and the Christ that will follow, the very reason we call ourselves Christians. And so we're going to do that. We're going to go as long as we can go. But I just want to pause a minute and say, you have to help us financially, because we don't have enough money to buy all these stations. And so you need to pray when you hear the service. And you pray, now, dear Lord, is that something you want to support? Should I have a part in this? And then God will tell you if you should give or not. And then you ask Him how much to give, because we need to have your help if we're going to carry on. But we'll go as long as the Lord provides. And He'll provide as long as He wants it to go. And when He wants it to stop, then we'll stop, because if the Lord isn't in it, we sure don't want to be in it. We can go fishing or something, but we'll go as long as you, God provides through you, dear people. Here's Iron River, Wisconsin. This is a little token of my appreciation, for I am very grateful to the Christian Worship Hour. Please put Ion on your prayer list and pray for him and his family. Ion is 14 years old and has Down syndrome since birth. He lives on a farm. Please pray for me too. And oh yes, we pray for you. And those who have special needs, we pray for them. And I guess we all have special needs of one kind or another. And the Lord will take care of us, and he'll help us. And he'll take us the way we are. And he'll help us through life. And he'll take us to heaven when we get done with this life. And then we won't have any people in the wheelchairs and the rock and the walkers and such as that. The best is yet to come. Here's Alden, Iowa. I have been a Christian for years, and just recently my husband gave his heart to Jesus. Now we share our belief, and it is wonderful. Glory to God. Your weekly broadcasts on Sunday morning are such a blessing to us, as my husband is disabled and unable to attend a regular church. And of course, we always tell people, go to church if you possibly can, but some of you can't. It's impossible. And so we can be your church. And we'll worship the Lord together, and he'll use the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And it is custom made just for you, the Holy Spirit. See, I wish I could see you folks. You see me, and I'd like to see you, and I'm going to see you in heaven. But the Holy Spirit, he's right there, and he knows what your special need is. And he takes the Word of God, and he applies it to your heart, and he blesses you, and he strengthens you. And sometimes he has to correct us, you know. We're straying a little bit. The Holy Spirit says, you ought not be doing that. You ought to stop in your tracks. Turn around. Or he'll say, you ought to start doing that, reading your Bible and having daily prayer. Whatever it is, it's custom made, see. And I don't care where you are on the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit is there. And we preach the Word of God, and he takes the Word of God, and he applies it, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the soul and the spirit. And boy, you can't get away from God's Spirit, and he'll talk to you. And many of you maybe don't know Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will say, you ought to come to Jesus, ought to accept him. Then you pray and accept the Lord. Just ask him into your heart. Well, here's from West Liberty, Ohio. Thank you so much for the beautiful TV service. Your preaching reminds me of a home when I was a little girl. I appreciate the musicians and singers and all the many other staff that takes to put the service together. God bless you all. I found the service on TV one evening and have been blessed by it. Thank you so much. Well, we do want to thank the musicians and the singers, because they sing from their heart. They sing because they love Jesus. And we have our technicians, and they fix it. And if something won't work, they find a switch and turn it on. Whatever they do, I don't know. But they get us on. There we are going. We're all just happy as we can be. Here's Oskaloosa, Iowa. This morning at 10 o'clock, your sermon blessed me very much. That is, you said you don't have to hear bells ringing and so forth to know you are saved. Your inspirations sized it up for me, as I hadn't heard it put that way before, and what a blessing you were. Thank you. There was definitely a reason why I turned you on this morning. May God continue to use you. Well, you know, there's a lot of people get mixed up over feelings. And when you accept Jesus, you may have wonderful feelings. You may be thrilled and all that. And on the other hand, you may not. It's just a transaction where you call on the name of the Lord and you're saved. We're all different. I went to the ball game some time back. I sat between two men, and one of them was a sitting there just like Mount Rushmore, just like the great stone face. I don't know why he ever came. He just sat there and he just looked and looked. like he was in a trance. The other guy about broke out my eardrum screaming and yelling. They're all different. Looking the same game, we're all different. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, some have joy, some have goose pimples, some like St. Paul have a light from heaven that strikes you down and you're blind for a while. We don't have many of them, I guess, but so don't put any feelings. After you walk with the Lord a while, you get a feeling where you just know Jesus is there. He gets more real. I've been walking with the Lord on and off because sometimes I've drifted away too. 84 years, and I don't hear voices and bells and nothing like that, but I just know Jesus is there. And so just lean on him. And when you feel good, he's there. When you don't feel good, he's still there. Well, let's look at here. I got two more I want to share. Newport, Oregon. It's great to have you coming into our home via your Sunday morning Portland, Oregon Ion Station. Soon we'll be celebrating the 55th anniversary of the day you married us. So we will be thinking of you. May God continue to bless you and all the workers there. And that is Chet and Carol Hagel. And 55 years ago I married them. I didn't know I was that old. But they stuck it in. They're a beautiful Christian couple, and I sure do love them and thank them for writing. One more, little short one. Sarasota, Florida. Listen to what they say. I was born again watching your TV show a few years ago. I love the new song. Now, when she talks about the new song, that's a little paper we put out. It's a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, it's about Jesus as our example, our pattern, our model, see. And I'll give you the address just a minute if you want to write for it. And then also we list the sermons, and then we have TV devotionals. You just got on your ChristianWorshipHour.com and get TV devotional, and there's a new devotional every week on there. And so here she's talking about the new song. But she accepted the Lord some time ago, now worshiping with us. So we just thank you all for the letters. Thank you for the gifts, and thank you for the prayers. Thank you for helping us out. Dear God, we sure do need your help to carry on our work. And we want to expand. And if you got any extra, we just get another station. Just get more radio or television time and get the Word of God out to the whole world. So if you want to help us, you write to us. And it's the Christian Worship Hour. And it's the box is easy. It's 2002, box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And wherever you live in all of the world, you can send a gift over ChristianWorshipHour.com. You just get on there, they'll say donate, you check that, it'll say PayPal. And then you put on there, and maybe you're in England, maybe you're in Norway, maybe you're in China, wherever you are, and we'll get it in American money. And we'll use it to buy our stations, pay for our stations. And so you just get a hold of us. We'd love to have you check us out. If you want to know if you're what we do with our money, with the money that you send us, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and not only that, but they see how we spend the money. And they keep us on the level, and we're proud to have them check us. And so you don't need to worry. You can get them on the internet, and you can read all about their organization. So we're just praying that God will bless you. And I'm going to have a little prayer now. Then Jan's going to play. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do, because the only source of income we have is from God's people, from you. So Heavenly Father, thank you for supplying our needs. Thank you for your people who have stood by over the years now, over 38 years. And dear Heavenly Father, we just are so glad we have the same gospel. It never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you for making this possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful music? Just makes you want to worship the Lord and love the Lord all the more. Well, we're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in this passage, St. Paul is talking about heaven, about our home over there. And I know we're all interested in heaven. I was always interested in heaven. But when my wife went there, I was really interested. And then my granddaughter went there, and I became more interested. So we're all interested in heaven. And when you get to be 94 years old, you have a lot of people over there. I'm anxious to see them. I don't know if they're anxious to see me, but I'm anxious to see them, so I'm coming. And you better get ready. Well, here it is. We start with the first verse. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the country of Jordan. Every week we pray for our brothers and sisters in these countries that are suffering for Christ. Today it's Jordan. So, Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture that St. Paul penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And, dear Lord, we're just so glad that you're preparing a place for those who love you. And it is our prayer today that there'll be so many, many, Lord, that they can't get into heaven unless they have you as their Savior. And so you've told us that you must be born again. And to be born again, you have to just ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sin. And it is our earnest prayer there'll be multitudes all over the world that will pray that prayer and ask Jesus, precious, beautiful, lovely Jesus, Jesus, the light of the world, to come into their heart and soul. And dear Lord, we're praying also for those on beds of sickness and those who are having hard times. Maybe the Lord, oh God, this dear person called us from Baltimore, Maryland, and she's having trials in the midst of all of the turmoil in that city. And oh God, by your wonderful Holy Spirit, help that dear person and her children. And God Almighty, take them out of there, or change the hearts of people and bring peace to the troubled city and to the troubled United States and to the troubled world, the whole world. And help us. It's a thing of the heart. We have to have Jesus in our heart. May many come to you. So this is your service, dear Lord. Use it to honor and glorify your wonderful, wonderful name, the name of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And Hank is going to sing for us. He's going to sing, Jesus Will Be the Light. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Some mornings when I get up, dark clouds are in the sky, and all day the sun fails to shine. Then I think of that morning when I wake up over there in that land where no dark clouds rise.
There wanna be no need of the moon, no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night.
All of heaven's gonna shine, and the mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light. Some mornings I get up and trouble's at the door, and that trouble hides the light of day. Then I think of that morning when I'll wake up over there, and my troubles will be rolled away. There won't be no need of the moon, no need of the night, and there'll never be no night. Troubles will shine, and a mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light. Some morning I'll get up in that land so bright and fair, and the streets of gold are gonna shine. But the reason they'll be shining and heaven will be fair is that Jesus will be the light. There won't be no need of the moon, no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night. All of heaven's gonna shine, and a mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light. There won't be no need of the moon, no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night. All of heaven's gonna shine, and a mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light.
Well, thank you, Hank, and that is exactly right. There won't be any night there when we get to heaven, because the light of the world is Jesus, and you know he can lighten lives today. Those that are, maybe you're discouraged today, and maybe you're downhearted, and you're a little bit despondent, you just ask you to fix your eyes on Jesus, the light of the world. And his love will shine in, and you'll get help and strength. And just lean on Jesus. And if you've never accepted him, do it today. Do it in this service. Do it right now and just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart and forgive me. And I'll follow you and I'll serve you the best I can. And I'll turn from my wicked ways. Anything wrong in my life, I'll turn from it." Just ask him into your heart. But there has to be repentance. Jesus taught repentance. Got to be turning. You can't live like the dogs and go to heaven too. You know, there's a lot of people looking toward heaven, but they're rowing toward hell. And so you got to change your ways. And God will help you do that. Well, we're going to look at something here, promises of God. And with so many wonderful promises of God that make life worth living, and they just cheer us up. And there's one here that I want to use today that I know it's going to cheer you. And if it doesn't cheer you up, boy, you need Geritol or something. You better get straightened out, because listen to this. This is what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. "We know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Just think of this. God is telling us that he's preparing the building of God. It's a house not made with hands, and it is in heaven, and it is eternal. It's not like on earth where the foundation rots out and the thing falls down, but it is forever and is eternal in the heavens. St. Paul begins by saying, "We know." We know. St. Paul was that way. He was a no-soul guy. He said, "We know that all things work together for good." We know that. We know that God loves us. And he says, "We know we have a building of God in heaven. And it's not made by human hands. It's made by God himself." And I've often wondered, you know, just look at creation. Look at the sky. Look at the trees. Look at the flowers, beautiful flowers. God created all of those things. While he did that in one day, so now he's been at it for 2,000, 3,000 years. What is heaven going to look like? It'll take your breath away. St. Paul says, you can't describe it. You can't put it into words. I think of my wife, Beulah. She's seen it all. She always was ahead of me, always tagging behind, and now she's seen it all. Someday I'm going to see it all, and you're going to see it all if you got Jesus. But you're not going to get there without Jesus, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Nobody gets into heaven but by me, Jesus. It's a person. It isn't the church. I love the church. Spent 70 years in the church almost. And I love the church, but the church can't save us. We just in the church, we preach the word and we help each other in fellowship. But the way to heaven is a person, Jesus. And you got to have him in your heart. And he'll come in your heart if you'll ask him in. So St. Paul talks about it. He says this wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he's gone to heaven and he's prepared for us. And so St. Paul, you know, he was never afraid of dying. He says, for me, depart as to be with Christ is much better. And so he just looked forward to death when he could get done with his work and go on home. And one of the reasons was, this is beautiful, beautiful heaven. He wasn't afraid of dying. So Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Or to the Thessalonians, he said, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds in the air. That is, the dead who have been raised in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So when we die, our body's placed out in the cemetery. And our spirit and soul, now this is the Christian. Our spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, your spirit and soul go to be with the devil. There's only one of those two going to have that soul of yours. It's going to be Jesus or it's going to be the devil. And you know what? It's your decision. Because if you want Jesus, you say, dear Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. Come into my heart and just confess your sins. You say, I don't need Jesus. Well, then you hang on with who you got, the devil. There's a kingdom of darkness, the devil, and the kingdom of light. And there's no in between. And so St. Paul is saying he is so happy that he has the Lord. And he says, they're going to put my body out in the cemetery. When Jesus comes, he's going to raise up that body. And that spirit and soul that has been in heaven going to be right down and put it back into that body. And that spirit and soul is immortal. The body is mortal, see. They talk about incorruption. That's the spirit and soul. We talk about the corruption. That's our body. And it's going to corrupt. It's going to go back to the dust from whence it came. When Jesus takes us up, that mortal body is going to become immortal. And we're going to have an immortal body, soul, and spirit. Praise God. That's what Paul's talking about. And so he talks about this, our life that we live here. And we have our troubles and we have our trials. And sometimes this old body of ours, like, you know, this old house is going to go to tatters. It's going to get aches and pains. And you're not going to be able to see through the windows much like you used to. And the old grinders are gone. You can't grind like you wanted to. And you have aches and pains. This old body goes to part. But while that old body it goes to pieces and decays, the inner body, the inner person, the spirit and soul gets stronger. And the flesh gets weaker and the spirit gets stronger. And then when we go to the Lord, we are there with him. And then when that time comes, he'll raise us up and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about it and he says that our body is like a tent. And so we live in that tent on this earth. And then when we die, then the tent goes down and we go to be with the Lord. And when Paul wrote this, there were people that lived in really fine houses. Just I'm sure there were. They had palaces and kings and they had nice houses. And then there were some who lived in tents. And if you took a trip to the Middle East, you'd see that you'd see these people moving, living in these tents and moving along around from pasture to pasture. But they never went to a pasture, never moved to a pasture, no matter how green it was, unless it was water. There always had to be water. And that's where they went. And they moved from place to place. And that's the way we are. We're moving. We're in this tent. And this tent can go to pieces. It can go down. And Paul, when he wrote about that, knew all about tents because he was a tent maker. And you remember when he was at Corinth, he was with Priscilla and Aquila, and they were tent makers. And St. Paul was a tent maker. Every rabbi had a profession, so that if he didn't have a work to do, he could have a business, he could have a profession. If he couldn't carry on with his teaching, he could always have a profession. And the Jewish people used to say, if you don't teach your child a profession, you teach him to be a thief. And so St. Paul, he had a trade, taught of tent making. So when he talks about this tent, he says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle or tent were dissolved, he says, well, then we have a building made with God up in heaven. And what Paul is literally saying is here, when our earthly life ends, and it's just like loosening those tent stakes, and the tent stakes are pulled, and the cords are pulled up, and the tent collapses, and it's gone. And it goes back to the dust. But the spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. And that one, see, in that beautiful city, the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and it is eternal, and it will never end. There'll be no end to it. And compared to a tent, as you can just see how flimsy it is, that tent, you get a bad wind and it'll collapse. And it's so, tentative, you can't count on it for anything. And then you're always moving, because you have to move where there's pastures, and you're always taking up the tent and putting it down, and it's flimsy, and there's nothing to it, nothing lasting. And so that's the kind of a body we have. And so Paul says, we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And so this body of the earthy, in this body we have our sickness, and we have our burdens, and we have our broken bones, and we have our limitations. And see, that is so flimsy, and life fleets so fast. Here this beautiful couple, Carol and Chet, 55 years they've been married. I would guess it 5 years. Life is so rapid, and is so tentative, and is so, it's just like water spilled on the ground and it's gone. It's like a vapor, James says. It's just a wisp and it's gone. 94, and it just seems like yesterday I was home with my mother and my brothers and my sister. And so this tent doesn't last, but in that other body, that other place that's built by hand of God, there is no frustration, and there's no disappointment, and there's no heartache, and there's no sorrow, and there's no weakness, and there's no sinning, and there's no groaning, and there is no death. And praise God, we'll be there with Him. That frail tent, the wind can whip it away, but this simple, this beautiful house of God will stand forever, and it'll never have an end to it. It's strong and enduring, and let the worst tempest come, it'll never move an inch. But there'll be no tempests, there'll be no trials and sorrows in that new land. It's a house that's strong and enduring. The earthquake will never touch that building, because there'll never be no such thing. And this house is incorruptible and fadeth not away. And so it's incorruptible and never fades away, never changes. Well, that simply means that wonderful spiritual life that we have, and that new immortal body that we have, will never fade away, and it'll never grow old, and it'll never get tired. Oh my God, what a great God we have to clothe us like that. And St. Paul said, we earnestly want to be there and be clothed with that new body in that new city, the new Jerusalem that God saw, that St. Paul saw coming down, St. John saw coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. And by the way, it says in that scripture, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that's the Christians. That's the church, the bride of Christ. And we have our spots and we have our wrinkles. And the world makes fun of it. And the world makes us so that they don't want anything to do with us, because we have our sins and we have our spots and our wrinkles. But someday we're going to be perfect, and we're going to be the bride of Christ. Well, St. John is looking at this, and he sees it's incorruptible. It doesn't fade away. It's there. It's forever and ever. It is eternal, no decay. And so then he makes a contrast between the two about the house made with our hands and the house that God made. And he says, so we're not willing but actually anxious to be away from this body, to move out of this tent and to be in this new home and in this new city. And Paul is saying that while we're dwelling in the tent, we don't have the presence of Christ, really. We're close to heaven. We know Christ and he's with us, but we just see him through a glass darkly. Then we're going to see him face to face in all of his glory. And won't that be something? And we'll probably be like John and fall at his face as dead. But he'll tell us to get up because we are his children and we are a part of the body of Christ. And we'll look into his face. Oh my goodness. You can't believe the beauty of it and the wonderfulness of it. And so this wonderful St. Paul, he talks about that day we're going to see that Lord. And so he says to just be brave and just be strong. And he talks about it and he says, I know that when this earthly tent is dissolved or taken down, I have a building from God, a house not made with hands. And he says, we don't labor in vain when we labor in the Lord, because we are coming to something that we're tied with something that is eternal. And oh, I'm telling you, friends, if you don't have Jesus Christ, and if you're not living for God, everything you have is going to die when you die. And that's going to be the end of it, except your poor soul is going to be in that place of torment with the devil and his angels. And it's there because you don't accept Jesus. Just ask Christ to forgive you and then serve him the best you can, and you won't be perfect. I have people say, oh, I know I couldn't be good enough to be a Christian. Well, we've got our spots and our wrinkles and we've got our shortcomings just like the rest of them, but we're a poor sinner, but we're saved sinners. And God is going to help us, and someday we're going to be perfect. Absolutely perfect. And so Paul says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. The image of the earthy, there he is. He's talking about that tent. The image of the heavenly, there he's talking about the house not made with hands. That's what he's talking about. And he's talking and he says, well, he says, well, we wonder, what is this all going to be like when we get there? And so Paul talks us a little bit about that. And he says, as we know that the image of the heavenly will be the image of the power of strength, because our body's going to be like the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. He had all power and all might. And look at the angels, how the great power they have. They came, one angel rolled back that great stone. It took 10 men, maybe 5 or 10 men, to roll that stone before that mouth of that tomb. And one angel rolls it over with one little finger. And we'll be more powerful than the angels because we're made in the image of God. And that body is going to be strong and it'll have no limitations. And we won't be living under sin anymore, because that's what hurts us now. And so if this be the case, imagine like what it's going to be when we meet Jesus. And remember what God said, let us make man in our image. And then Adam fell. And we still have that image, but it's desecrated. And you can't hardly see it. But when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, that image will be in all of its glory. And we're going to be in the image of God, if you can imagine that. I can't. It'll be glorious. Oh, my dear Lord, it'll be glorious. And then he goes on. And he says, in the image of the heavenly will also be the image of the holy. And that means that we're going to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when we meet the Lord and when we meet heaven, he's going to be there and he's going to receive us. And I know that when I die and I get to heaven's gates, and they're going to say, why should we let you in? You know, you've had a lot of sins back there, and you had some thoughts that weren't very nice. And you weren't very nice sometimes. And you didn't always do what I wanted you to do. And you have a long list of stuff. You know, Lord have mercy. And if he needs any help, Beulah could help him make the list longer, I'm sure. But I'll stand there and I won't even bat an eye. He can't keep me out because I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He can't see any of those sins. They're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And He can't turn me away because I am in Christ. And I'm perfectly holy because I'm in Christ. Oh, my friends, you remember Adam and Eve in their first estate. There was innocence and sinlessness in the Garden of Eden. And God put them there to keep that garden. And then they sinned and they lost all of that. Oh, and we sinned. And we're still in the image of God. But it's like somebody said, it's like a train wreck. And this train is going along, a beautiful train, and it crashes. And it is a wreck, but it's still a train, but it's a wreck, and it doesn't look like much. You can't hardly recognize what it is, but it's a train. And when Adam and Eve sinned, we lost that image of God, but the trace is there. And someday, it's going to be revealed in all of its glory. Won't that be a wonderful day? Oh, dear Lord. And so he goes on and he talks about as we have the image of the earthly, we'll have the image of the heavenly. And the Bible tells us that we're the morning stars sang together when the sons of God shouted for joy when man was born and made and created. And so that's what they do when we accept Jesus Christ. The angels rejoice because we're going to be more of us coming, more of a people coming, more souls coming. And there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And so I just think about seeing so many people and how when I come to the Lord and then when the Lord accepts me, I'm born again 10 years old. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. That means the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You see, really the angels are kind of left out. Because they don't know what it's like to be redeemed. They've never sinned. The ones that sinned followed Satan and became demons. But the angels that never sinned, they don't know. You talk about redemption and what it is to be saved from our sins. They don't even know what you're talking about. But we know what we're talking about because we can see our evil ways and our sinful ways, and they're all washed away. And can we praise? They can't praise God in the way we can put the angels to shame with our singing because we got a message that they don't have. We've been born again. We were poor, lost, wretched sinners, and He saved us by His grace and by His blood, and we can rejoice over in the presence of the angels. And so then Paul closes, and he gives different metaphors. He gives five different metaphors. Let's just look at them quickly. He calls death an exodus. And by that, he's thinking of the children of Israel and when they're in Egypt and God comes and He delivers them. The Exodus, the book of Exodus means they left their slavery and they left their horrible life and they left their whippings and their beatings by the Egyptians and they're free, free people. And that's what we are. It's an Exodus when we leave this cruel world with all of its sorrow and its sickness and its shame, and we have a glorious body and set free. An exodus. It's also called, death is called a sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And Paul isn't saying that the soul is asleep in the grave. It isn't. But he's talking about the body like it's had a rest. And it rises in the morning and it's strong and it's ready to go. And it wants to move and do things. It's a new day and a new life. He speaks of it as sailing or the unmooring of a ship. And so it's a picture of a ship, and it's tied against the moor, against the port here. And now we get on that ship, and then they cut the ropes, they loose the ropes, they set the sails, and we go out to sea. That's that soul that leaves this tent on earth. And what does St. Paul say? My departure is now at hand. That's exactly what he was talking about. This ship is sailing away and is sailing into glory. That's death. It's a beautiful picture of going to be with God. And so this ship weighs anchor, hoists the sail, and starts toward heaven, that beautiful heaven. So at death, we weigh anchor, we hoist our sail, and we enter into heaven. And you know how long that takes? 1 second. Because the moment we stop breathing here, we are in the presence of the Lord. We stop breathing because our spirit left us. And where did it go? It's into heaven. And long before they have our body on the gurney in the funeral home, we'll be in heaven rejoicing. What a wonderful God. Another metaphor is a tent. When a tent is struck, that is, we move out of our earthly tent. We enter in our eternal home, that wonderful place. And the fifth picture is the metaphor of a home. It was a metaphor that Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you unto myself." This is home. We're going home. Everybody wants to go home. You're in the hospital, you want to go home. You're on the battlefield, you want to go home. You're in a retirement home, you want to go home. That's just made that way. And that's because we want to go home with God and that wonderful city of God. So friend, I'm wondering about you. I'm wondering today if you've accepted Jesus Christ. I wonder if you have that home and that where who writing about when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've just begun to live that life with that wonderful Lord in that wonderful city of God in that new Jerusalem. So Jesus talks about, he says, you ought to be sure. And you ought to be sure that you've accepted the Lord. You ought to be. You'll never get there without Jesus Christ. Death can only mean a terrible, horrible adventure for you if you don't have Jesus Christ. I tremble for you. And I don't know why you don't turn, because you can turn if you want to. When I started the ministry, a man told me, and his name was Archie, and he says, and he came forward. I don't know how they got him forward in the front row, and he said, wanted him to pray, and he says, "I can't. God doesn't give me faith." I didn't know what to say. I said, "Well, God, could you give him some faith?" He's got faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, and you can believe if you want to. And when you stand before God Almighty, and if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you'll never say you didn't have a chance. Because right now the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and he's telling you, "I want to come into your heart. I stand at your door and knock," Jesus said. "If any man open that door, I will come in." The Holy Spirit's talking to you. So you open the door. Ask Jesus, say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive me for my sins. And I'll live for you. I'll serve you the best I can." If you drifted away from the Lord, you come back. If you drifted away, you're still his child, but you're not happy. You come back. And I'm praying that many will do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us, and we'll send you a little booklet, a little packet to help you get started in the Christian life. And if you drifted away from the Lord and you're coming back, well, then you just let us know. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you anyway. And when you write, be sure to send a gift to help us along. Pray for us. That's the most important thing. And if you pray for us, everything will work out just fine. You pray, and then you ask God what he wants you to do to help us in the work. Send that along. And maybe we'll read your letter, unless you put a little note and don't want it read. Sometimes people put that on there. We never read that letter. If you say, "Don't read on the air," we never do that. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you come to Jesus and ask him into your heart, and then you write to us and just walk, go on your way rejoicing. And to those of you who are on beds of sickness, those of you that are lonely and discouraged or going through hard times, or like this dear lady in Baltimore who is having such a hard time of it and just at her wit's end, dear, we're going to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray that you'll bless your people. You'll be especially close to them and help them. Help them through their needs, because we know that you're able. We pray, dear Lord, that in all things we'll honor you and that we'll serve you the best we can, and that we'll look for that day when someday we're going to be with you in heaven, and that'll be a wonderful, wonderful reunion. So, dear Lord, we love you. We're here to serve you. We do all we can to honor you and pray that you'll pick up our efforts and use them to the salvation of many and the comfort of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, we're going to be looking for you next week. And by the way, next week, I'm going to have a sermon on a question that has never been answered. It was asked 2,000 years ago, and it's never been answered. And I'm going to tell you something else. It never will be answered. So you tune us in. Tell your friends. Join us. God bless you. We love you. See you next week. The Lord willing.